Welcome to Off Script with Dan Dwyer on Robin Hood Radio, featuring in-depth interviews with guests from the world of theater and allied arts. Underwriting support from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare collectible and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. And now, here's the host of Off Script, Dan Dwyer.
Thanks, Marshall, and welcome to Off Script. Sometimes art imitates real life, which is the case with a play that has made its way from the Barrington stage in Pittsfield to Off-Broadway this season. The play which the Berkshire audience has just loved is The Cake, about a North Carolina baker named Della, who is taken a little aback when she's asked by the young woman she helped raise to make her wedding cake for a marriage to another woman. With me today is Genevieve Angelson, the actress who plays Jen, the young woman newlywed-to-be. Genevieve has played the role of Caitlin Hobart in the Showtime series House of Lies and also played the role of Detective Nicole Gravely in Backstrom. But most notably, she's known for Good Girls Revolt on Amazon, just one season. On Broadway, she played the role of Nina in the Tony Award-winning play Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike. So welcome, Genevieve.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Welcome to be here. So congratulations on this role in The Cake. As I mentioned, it played up in the Berkshires at the Barrington stage last summer. People loved it. Is this the first time you've been in a play on the stage in New York since Vanya and Sonia and Masha and Spike? It is.
This is my return to New York theater, my triumphant return.
Okay.
My big gay triumphant return.
The character would be gay. Yeah.
Yes, she is. And I just spent the summer playing Maggie and Cat on a Hot Tin Roof because I, having spent the last 5 or 6 years living in Los Angeles. 5 years since Vanya and Sonia.
And doing a lot of TV.
Gratefully. Knocking on some wood here in studio. I was in England this past spring shooting a new show called Flack, which will come out in February. And while I was there, I saw a new play on the West End called The Inheritance. And I saw this play. It's by Matthew Michael Lopez. And it was just the most – it was one of those theatrical experiences where you walk in and the cells that comprise you are different when you leave. And I thought, oh, it's time to go back to the theater.
Good for you. I've heard nothing but incredible things about The Inheritance. John Benjamin Hickey, who's in it, has been a guest – on Off Script, and I usually make 3 or 4 trips to London, but I haven't been in a year and a half, and I'm going in a week or so, and I'm just missing by one week seeing The Inheritance.
Well,
but
we are hoping it's going. I
think it will probably end up here, but I've heard it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
So that got you back on the boards.
Truly.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
I was so changed. It was so emotional, my experience, emotional to the point of feeling political in not in pursuit of any particular agenda. It's actually, I'm now realizing, completely a coincidence that I am also, that is a play that is about gay characters. Mine is a play that is about gay characters. Total coincidence. As I said, I did do Cat on a Hot Tin. Also a play about gay characters.
There you go. Leave it to...
Oh, my God.
Well, leave it to Tennessee Williams. You know, he works those characters in there pretty well.
Is it crazy that it's just in this moment that I'm realizing how incredibly gay my experience... Oh. It's Christopher Durang, gay playwright.
There you go. You know, you might have a career in theater if you keep this up.
You
be careful.
Throw a stone.
Be careful.
You'll be in a gay play in this town.
So, getting back to The Cake, which is that's okay. So you hadn't seen the play before.
I hadn't.
So you just read that you had never seen the play because it was before it was in the Berkshires. It was also at the Geffen in Los Angeles, and it started out at the Echo in the summer before that. But you hadn't seen it, so you just picked up the script.
I hadn't. I can't. I hadn't even when I did the Tennessee Williams this summer. I hadn't even seen the movie. I just can't. I'm the youngest girl of three sisters, and I'm too much of a mimic. You know, I learned so much from watching and copying that it's such a deep groove in my brain. It has to be fresh.
So when your agent or somebody said, you want to get back on the boards, this is a play that I think you should read, mm-hmm. and you read it, mm-hmm. if that's how it might have come about. Mm-hmm. What was your reaction?
I was so glad that it didn't start with a 24-page monologue.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what I was doing when I read it.
The first scene you have to walk around that bedroom and talk to yourself for about 17 pages.
A lot of walk-in, not a lot of response, not a lot of clothes.
Right.
So I was pretty glad about Deborah Jo Rupp, who plays the baker, doing so much of the talking.
And we should add, because people in our listening audience of the radio station are familiar with her. She's done a lot of work.
She's very special.
At Barrington Stage. And she's the only one, I think, who's played Della, both in the Geffen and – no, did she – yeah, she was at the
mm-hmm.
Geffen.
That's right. She's done the production three times.
Yeah. Well, she originated the role.
That's right.
Yeah.
She originated the role doing the reading of the play at Manhattan Theater Club years ago. She's been doing this role for 2 years on and off.
Right.
So it's funny. It does a little bit feel like I'm stepping in as an understudy in that she's been in this role for so long. But it's amazing craft to watch her know her character and rediscover a new story in a new production with a new director and new actors. It's so – I can't imagine how hard that is, but she's doing it so beautifully. I learn so much from her.
Let's back up a little bit because in all transparency, we're having this interview while you're in the while you're in rehearsal for the play. Well before this is going to – so we're getting a really fresh, take on this. So let's back up a little bit. Tell us the impressions you had of the character Jen, whom you're playing, when you first read the script. Who is Jen and what she's all about? What makes her tick?
Jen is a character written by Becca Jo Brunstetter. She's the playwright. And I had admired Becca so much, and I'm sure lots of your audience watches a little show called This Is Us. You may have heard of it. She's a writer on that. And she writes so clearly, so deliberately, and so with such – it's funny. I thought the first time I read this, 90 pages, it'll fly by 90 minutes. It'll be quick and light and funny. It'll be a piece of cake. I am now, I will admit to your audiences who I'm in week three of rehearsal on this play, and I am in the ring with such unbelievably deep issues. I cannot even tell you. It's about mothers. It's about religion. It's about love. It's about God. It's about the South versus the North. It's about red America versus blue America. There is so much in there. I'm in that spot in rehearsal that any actor will tell you. You kind of look around and you're like, I don't know why they hired me, and I'm afraid the next note is going to be, thank you so much, we've replaced you. Because it's just like you feel like you're swimming in a bath of your own filth.
Or maybe this is just every actor's insecurity. Can we leave it at that? I'm trying to be helpful here.
You have to really, but you must. It's got to feel like you're walking in peanut butter before it feels like you're just walking.
Yeah, just sliding through.
Yeah.
So Jen, what I don't know yet because
okay.
I haven't read the play, and in all transparency, it's one of the few plays I didn't get to see up in the Berkshires, and I regret that. But
you were waiting for us.
Yes, and so what is the relationship between Della and Jen?
I continue to hear the question and just digress.
That's okay. So I'm going to continue asking.
Jen is. I mean, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on NPR. I don't think that I am. There's a term called basic mm-hmm. rhymes with which.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. Yeah.
And that's sort of what she was raised to be. It's like, you know, this is just a discovery I made today.
But Della's not a bitch.
No, not a bitch. A basic bitch is like the kind of woman who it's a self-deprecating thing you would say about yourself. Like, I'm such a basic bitch because I love a pumpkin spice latte from Starbucks.
I got it.
You just like, she really, she's from the South. She's a good girl. She was on the cheerleading team. She got good grades. And she's always wanted to have a big white wedding. Like, if she could just step right into Father of the Bride, that would be her perfect wedding. And then all of a sudden this inconvenient thing happened where she found out that she was attracted to women. And oh my goodness, that just didn't fit at all. It just did not fit.
Did she leave North Carolina and go to the big city to get some sophistication?
Sure did.
Where does she come from to going back to North Carolina?
The play takes place in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, where she grew up, and it takes place there with Jen having been gone for the last 5 years since her mom passed away, living in Brooklyn with her lesbian girlfriend.
Good. So she's a Brooklyn lesbian hipster back to Winston-Salem to get married, except it's not to a guy.
Not to a guy.
We're talking about The Cake, and I'm talking, which is a new play. Well, it was in the Berkshires. It's going to be at Manhattan Theater Club. And it stars as Jen, the young woman who's getting married to another young woman, Genevieve Angelson, whom I'm talking today to about The Cake. So Jen comes back, says to Della, her sort of surrogate mother, is she?
Oh, she does not say. She is her surrogate mother.
She is.
Jen's mother died 5 years ago. Della was her mother's best friend.
Ah, now I get it.
Della in the play, it's sort of like a ghost of Hamlet's father. It's Deborah Jo's much more than a ghost. But it is that feeling of, if I can win your approval, I can live with myself. Because my mother isn't here, but what would she think? And so the course of the play is not that Jen literally comes right out and says, I'm gay, I'm getting married. It's sort of comes out accidentally, is forced by her partner who happens to be in the room because she gets there, she gets cold feet, she doesn't know. Jen is a character who bifurcates. She is one person to please Della. She's another person to please her fiancé. She can code switch. She's a chameleon. She just wants to be agreeable.
Mm-hmm.
She just wants to be liked.
Mm-hmm.
And so in order for her to go through the journey of standing up and being who she is, which isn't a choice, but regardless of what anyone thinks about it, is her journey. And really it's the journey from being a kid to being a woman.
So besides Della, the cake maker, the mm-hmm. baker, besides Jen, the lesbian who's getting married,
mm-hmm.
besides the girlfriend whose name is Macy, is that it?
Her name is Macy. There are four people in the play.
And then there's this guy named Tim.
That's right. Four characters in the play.
And he sort of complicates things, doesn't he?
He is the voice of, if you were to put all four characters on a spectrum, it would be from left to right, literally, politically, Macy, the black lesbian who lives in Brooklyn.
Oh, she happens to be black.
That's correct.
Oh, we didn't know that. Okay.
Jen, the southern girl who also happens to be a lesbian.
Right. The nice white girl who happens to be a lesbian.
That's right. Della, the older white lady who makes cakes and who may or may not be able to be convinced that it is okay to make a cake for a gay wedding,
mm-hmm.
and her very conservative husband who knows that it is not okay.
So
those are the four characters. I have to tell you something. The actor playing Macy is a woman named Miranda Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
She was my classmate in grad school. There were 16 of us. 16 of us. Six women.
Where'd you go to grad school?
I went to the graduate acting program at NYU.
Okay.
Six women, 10 men. They cast opposite each other. Two women who, at that program, you're there 18 hours a day, 6 days a week for 3 years. I mean, I knew what the back of Miranda's throat looked like before. I'm not kidding. I mean, we've literally seen each other's soft palates rise. Like, it's like that. So
So when did you discover that she was going to get the part, and when did she discover that you were going to get the part?
Well, I had the part, and they called her in as one of the people to audition, and I think we just had so much chemistry right away because we'd quite honestly been in a relationship for so long, not a romantic relationship, but you know, we'd been collaborators for so long. So this is like really dream casting for me.
That's really small world.
Well,
so they brought Miranda. They brought Miranda in to read with you for her
mm-hmm.
audition.
Mm-hmm.
And it just clicked.
Totally.
That's great.
Totally.
Now, I really appreciate you coming in because it is hard in the middle of rehearsal because your head is so placed.
I mean, it's so funny. I just thought, I hope he just doesn't ask me any questions about what I know because I think as of today, I officially know nothing.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. So what I really want to thank you for doing it because, you know, you got to put your head in a whole different place to sit down and talk to a guy who's doing radio when you're in a middle of rehearsal. I mean, how many hours a day do you go at it?
What a question. You know, Lynn Meadow, the director, is such an unbelievably humane...
And we should mention that Lynn is the longtime artistic director of the very successful Manhattan Theatre Club, too.
She's great. I love being in a room with her. She is so humane. She's not, you know, there are equity rules, obviously, about how long you can rehearse, but she knows when we're there emotionally, physically, mentally available, and she knows when we've kind of lost it and she lets us go. But, I mean, we could have all gotten on the C train and had rehearsal at 2 o'clock in the morning last night because we were all awake thinking about it. So it's like we actually rehearse for, you know, 6 hours a day or something, but then we go home, we're thinking, we're memorizing, we're dreaming about it, we're, you know, it's hard.
Do you have to do an accent for this?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
So you're going to be a nice girl who grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, but who goes off to Brooklyn. She's a hipster.
You're so astute. This is an issue in the play.
Because people's accents change when they move away from where they grew up.
Well, of course they
do. You know,
do.
No one would know I'm from New Bedford, Massachusetts.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what's funny is Miranda is actually the actor who is from the South,
right.
And I am actually the actor who's from New York, and so in a way we're playing each other. But I do, and it's an issue in the play of, you know, when you go home and you talk the way that you talk when you're at home with your people,
you know
what I mean?
Right.
And so Macy at one point turns to Jen and says, why do you have an accent all of a sudden? And it's like, well, this is how I talk. What are you talking about?
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
But I'm a little
bit afraid.
Because
when people go home again, they sound different to the people they grew up with.
When people go to London on vacation for a week, they start talking like that. Do you know what I mean? So it's a little bit of a concern of mine that people are going to be like, why is this actor not doing an accent in every scene? And it's because when I'm alone with Macy, I talk like Macy. When I'm alone with Della, I talk like Della.
Exactly.
It changes. So that's why, guys, I swear it's deliberate.
Yeah, before people read about it. Let's get that out there.
Yeah.
But so do you have a dialect coach for the southern parts?
More of a small world. My voice and speech teacher from NYU grad acting, Deb Hecht, is my coach. She is the best in the business.
Good. So here's a stupid question. How do you separate, because you mentioned it, the accent you're doing from this nice girl from Winston-Salem who goes to live in Brooklyn, comes back to have a wedding in Winston-Salem. How do you separate that kind of a southern accent for the accent you did as Maggie?
Oh, my God. That's not a stupid – I was going to make fun of you and say there are no stupid questions except that one.
Okay.
No, but that's not a stupid question. It really isn't because, you know, it's almost like there were so many things that were different about Maggie. I mean, just – not to use a Los Angeles word right now, Louis, but just energetically, there were so many things that were different about Maggie, particularly the fact that it took place in the 1950s. And so I don't hear Maggie's accent around in the world that I inhabit.
Most people don't talk like that anymore.
No.
No.
I mean, most people don't talk like that anymore. You know, it's just that it was such a different place being in the bayou in – God, now I'm embarrassed that I just tried to do it. I don't think
I do have one friend. Maybe she's listening. And she grew up in a really rarefied environment on the border of Alabama and Georgia. And she's a little older than I am. But she still talks like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know those. There's some of them still.
The truth of the matter is that the thing about Jen that makes it easy is that as I said, I'm a chameleon. I'm a people pleaser. I just have to match whoever is in front of me.
Yeah.
So I don't really have to go into my muscles to find it, although, you know, I do. But it's really just about speaking the way that whoever else is in the room is speaking.
Right.
Because that's Jen.
Right. Right. In case you're just joining us, I'm Dan Dwyer, your host. The program is Off Script, and I'm talking to Genevieve Angelson, who's playing the role of Jen in Manhattan Theater Club's production of The Cake, which many of our listeners will be familiar with because they may have seen it in the Berkshires last summer, and it's now going to be off-Broadway. You mentioned earlier how the play takes everything apart, you know, religious conflict, political conflict, generational conflict, gender conflict, sexuality conflict, and all that. This sounds kind of corny, but there are so many plays who try to do that. What's different about this one that doesn't do it in a typical way? Because, you know, everybody says, oh, a play about the cake. Oh, weren't those two guys up in Minneapolis who went to court? And we've already heard that story, you know, ripped from the headlines.
It's a good question. I think the great thing about this vessel that Becca has written is that the thing that you're going to hear and see and feel when you watch it is the thing that's for you connect to. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And yeah. I know that's true in every situation. Yeah. But for me, I'm thinking about it a lot from the perspective of my mom, who was raised Irish Catholic and married a Jewish guy. And, you know,
typical New York marriage, right?
Right. And, you know, she's from one part of New Jersey and he's from another part of New Jersey. So I think that the way everybody is going to have a way in that makes this incredibly personal. And as many issues as it does cover, as many things show up in the lines, it's such a personal story about real people that I think it doesn't feel like too much because it's also written with a clip. It's written without – it's funny. It's written without sitting in any particular feeling for too long. And ultimately – It's funny to make sort of the most important, most personal, most in integral issues in this country right now about gluten. gluten and icing. Really, that's what we're talking about.
The important stuff. Okay, off gluten, off cake, television. Good Girls Revolt almost caused, I'm aware of, a little bit of revolt in itself. How did you survive all that? I mean, because you had this huge hit series, and it came for a year, caused a big splash, not renewed. What happened? Why? Too bad? Will it get done again? What's...
You know, I don't know if you've heard, but females are strong as hell. Mm-hmm. Women, that's how I got through it. Women are incredibly tenacious animals. That was painful. That was a really tough one to add the numbers up and feel like it came out with anything that made sense because what I was told, what the numbers of our series represented were that we were this enormous hit. We just didn't particularly matter enough to the people who made the decisions. And this was, mind you, within a month of Hillary Clinton losing the election the Electoral College, and so it was an incredibly. It was like we were just a day too early in some ways, but I also think there's something about the loss of this show in popular culture that was incredibly galvanizing, mm-hmm. that enabled me to feel helpful, to feel like my social media could become a platform for change and for feminism and for empowerment because people started to look to me for the answer about whether or not we would have a second season. Yeah. And so sort of accidentally happened upon this place where I might be able to tell them about the closest march, you know?
So you had a life beyond the character. Mm-hmm. It got a whole new life for you beyond the character of just the show.
Yeah. She's not coming.
When you're doing a play like this, though, I mean, can you leave Jen at the stage door when you go home? After you go through rehearsal, after you get it up, after you get it working, or are you going to live with Jen until it closes? So it's a limited run anyway.
Gotta tell you, it's hard not to be in love with Miranda Anderson. That's hard to put down. I don't know how to answer that. I have found myself awake at night recently, which suggests that it's tapping into something deep. I'll never let go of Maggie. Yeah, I mean, I'll never let go of her.
Yeah.
She's so important to me, and she taught me so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like if I do justice to Deborah Jo and Becca and Lynn and Miranda and Dan, if I really do justice to everyone else who's there, then she'll be with me for a long time.
Well, it sounds like you're on the right track. I can't wait to see the play, and I can't wait to see you in it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Genevieve Angelson, for coming in this evening on Off Script. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until the next time when you tune in, as a dear departed friend of mine used to say, be well.
Underwriting support for Off Script with Dan Dwyer from Johnny Cake Books in Salisbury, Connecticut, whose collection of rare, collectible, and out-of-print books is housed in a 19th-century cottage in one of the most old-fashioned small towns in New England. Off Script with Dan Dwyer is also available via podcast on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand, and then click on Off Script with Dan Dwyer.